moves the approval of the minutes.
I do.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All the same sign. Motion carries. Members, we'll start with Representative Erickson's bill here. Just a housekeeping note. Tonight we will not continue the committee. We weren't able to find a very big room, and we were able to locate room number 5, this room, for tomorrow night. And so the plan will be to extend into tomorrow night if we can't finish the agenda today. If we can finish today, we don't come back tomorrow night. So that's the deal. And tomorrow we will have a discussion on the MISO market and the new market that they've established for energy, and some interesting information around that issue as we start transitioning into the last couple meetings for our committee. And so that's kind of a quick lay of the land, but then tomorrow night would be finishing up the agenda for today if we don't finish today. So Representative Erickson, do you want to move your
Chair and committee
division report?
I will move the division report for House File 3211.
Okay. Representative Erickson moves the division report for House File 3211. Tell us what your bill does.
Mr. Chair and committee, this is called the Breeders' Fund Apportionments Bill. And what it does is it authorizes the Racing Commission to distribute money apportioned for the Arabian breed to owners who are Minnesota residents racing at either Minnesota racetracks or at a racetrack in a border state such as Fargo, North Dakota. And Mr. Chair, that's all there is to it.
All right. Any questions, members? Let's move to adopt the division report, and then we'll take the bill up. All those in favor of adopting the division report, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Then, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 3211, recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register.
Representative Erickson moves House File 3211, be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. Is there any other discussion? Anybody in the audience feel compelled to speak for or against this bill? No more discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you,
Representative Erickson. Next, Representative Beard. House File 3100. Representative Westerberg, will you move the adoption of the division report?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Westerberg moves the adoption of the division report of House File 3100. Let's adopt that first. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Representative Beard moves the passage of House File 3100 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. Representative Beard, tell us briefly about your bill, and we'll go from there.
Mr. Chairman and members, thank you. This is a continuation of an effort last year that I attempted on the House floor to lift the limits from the card table gaming facility at Canterbury Park, which is in my district, one of our outstanding corporate and community citizens. The proceeds of the card club, of course, largely benefit the horse industry in this state. Currently, I think the initial agreement, which was passed in the late 90s, caps that at 50 tables total. It seems to be a good time to raise that limit. I would propose this year we just take it off and let the Canterbury Park folks respond to the demand of the marketplace, which seems to be immense. House File 3100 actually does a couple of different things. It's a modest measure to help the park and the horsemen out there. As we've talked in the past, the Horsemen's Benevolent Association, the Quarter Horse Association, and the stockholders of the park all would like to be able to have the park compete better with other tracks around the upper Midwest. We'll lift the restrictions on the number of tables at Canterbury Park and allow them to conduct additional poker tournaments during the year. It will allow, this is a little different, so we'll need to pay attention here. It'll allow Canterbury to offer banked card games like they play at the tribal casinos. It would also allow the use of electronic poker tables and individual poker machines And I must point out these are not slot machines, but allow people to play poker against a computer, apparently. Mind you, folks, as I'm talking about this, I'm not a card player. However, I am a fan of Canterbury Park, and that's why I'm carrying this bill. The card club will continue to be monitored and regulated by the Minnesota Racing Commission. This is an important point. This does not allow Canterbury Park just to do whatever they please. As it is in current statute, everything they do must be requested and must be approved in separate plans by the Minnesota Racing Commission, both for their banked and their unbanked games. This bill is a modest effort to keep Canterbury Park viable in the face of increasing competition from other entertainment venues, including expanded internet businesses. Mr. Chairman, I think that that's probably a broad overview of the bill. It would probably be best if I stood for questions at this time, and I do have available to the committee, if you wish, Mr. Court Holton from the Horsemen's Benevolent Protective Association and Mr. Randy Sampson speaking on behalf of nearly 3,000 stockholders of Canterbury Park.
Representative Beard, I don't. Is there any questions for the committee? I think we have some several amendments to your bill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just lay out the timeline so you don't feel cheated, Representative Beard, if your bill isn't passed. But we've got some other bills we do need to get to, and some testifiers from out of town on Representative Erickson's bill number 4 on the agenda. So about 10 after 3, we're going to probably have to look at laying yours over if we're not finished with it. Then Representative Westerberg's bill will be up. That goes beyond 20, 30 minutes. We'll have to lay that over because I want to extend the courtesy to make sure we have testifiers from out of town get in before the end of today's meeting. So, and then hopefully we could wrap up with Representative Hackbarth's bills at the very end of the committee, which I understand are very, there's no amendments for and are widely supported. So just that's kind of a lay of the land that we're trying to do for time management. So, but let's, any discussion or else we'll start with the First Amendment. Any questions?
Thank you.
Representative Atkins, you have the A1 amendment?
I do, Mr. Chair. The A1 amendment simply, and I believe it's been passed out, just requires a voter approval. My assumption and hope, Representative Beard, is that the local folks in Shakopee would be supportive of this, but certainly they deserve the opportunity to weigh in. I believe the bill would offer unlimited tables at Canterbury. And that's a pretty healthy expansion over what currently exists. I know that Canterbury has been a terrific supporter of the community, and my hope and assumption would be that the community would recognize that, but certainly they ought to have an opportunity to weigh in. And I would hope that you'd be supportive of this amendment, as well as members of the committee.
Representative Beard or Representative Emmer, you have a question?
I'm waiting to hear Representative Beard.
Representative Beard, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to speak against the amendments. You know, in back in the 80s, we had a statewide referendum. Remember the bumper stickers, another taxpayer for horse racing? And the people spoke pretty loudly and clearly that this was the venue for gaming operations in this state outside of the, well, at that time, I guess there wasn't much in the way of tribal operations, but this was to be the gaming venue. And that it responds to the Minnesota Gaming Commission, I think, is comfort enough for this representative. So, both sides, respectfully request that we defeat the amendment.
Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is actually for the author. Representative Atkins, your statement is that local folks should be able to weigh in. Could you explain for me in a little bit more detail the concept of allowing them to weigh in? Is the issue because it's a gambling issue? Could you explain that for me?
I think, Mr. Chair.
Representative Beard. Representative Atkins, sorry.
I think it speaks well on its face, Representative Emmer. It's a referendum because it's a fairly significant change in the local community. Which is home to Canterbury. I know it's Class A racing facilities or something, I think is how the bill is worded, but it basically affects Canterbury. And it just seemed reasonable to let those folks weigh in on it.
passed. So for November?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Adkins. I guess and maybe I didn't ask the question very well, because I do like the idea that you're proposing, that let the local folks weigh in. But my question is directed more towards, is the intent of this, do you have a feeling one way or the other as to whether the local people would favor an expansion of gambling or want to leave it as is? Do you have any idea? I know that you represent an adjacent area or an area over that side of town.
Representative Adkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Emmer, the reason I am proposing it is because I don't know, and I didn't hear from testimony at the division level where the local folks were at, and thought with such a significant change being proposed that it made sense to give them an opportunity to have some local control.
And Mr. Chairman, I think this will be it. Representative Adkins, then you're telling me that at the division meeting where these folks could have appeared and said that they had a problem with this, there was no testimony, or there wasn't, and that's what brings this amendment before us. I guess that would be my last question. Maybe somebody else from the committee could answer it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was not testimony from local residents, at least no one that I was aware of as local residents. I'm not necessarily certain, however, that every person in Shakopee was aware that the bill was being heard by our division. I'm assuming that they were, but I'm not sure of that. I'm just kidding about that. I'm assuming most people had no idea.
Well, that's Representative Adkins, and I do appreciate, you saw me perk up. I do appreciate, not that I was sleeping, but I do appreciate the sense of humor. My interest really was, if this is your constituency, Shakopee, and I don't know if it is, and maybe I should ask that, because I'm interested to know if you got some feedback from somebody in the Canterbury area in that district, one, whether you represent them, and two, whether you got some feedback that this is necessary.
Mr. Representative Adkins. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My district's about 30 miles away, I did not. My sense would be that if this was going to happen in Inver Grove, which is the area that I do represent, or South St. Paul, Sunfish Lake area, that folks would like an opportunity to be heard on it. And whether that's through the city council, whether that's through, you know, some organized fashion like that, or whether it's a referendum, to me, I know that many members on your side of the table, as well as many members on our side of the table, prefer hearing it directly from the people themselves. So I proposed it as a referendum. If people would be more comfortable, or Representative Beard would be more comfortable with it being a city council resolution supporting it, I'm fine with that, too. I just wanted to make sure that the locals had some opportunity to say, yes, this is a good thing. We support it. That's all.
Mr. Chairman,
and Representative,
I don't mean to keep belaboring.
You're eating up the author's time, but that's fine.
Well, it's important to me. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but Representative Adkins, ordinarily I would view this as a good idea if there were residents that were coming to the legislature and asking questions about this. And Inver Grove, the last time I checked, doesn't have a tribal casino, nor does it have a Canterbury Downs. I'm sure it has some pull tab operation or some charitable gaming somewhere. But the issue that you're talking about, while it might be appropriate in your town of Inver Grove, where they don't already have this established activity, I question why we'd be putting it to a referendum in a town where they already have all these different options. But, I mean, with all that, I probably won't support your amendment, but thank you for your candor.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
No. Motion does not prevail.
Division
has been called. Clerk will take the roll.
Just raise a hand.
What's that?
He can't see.
Show
of hands.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw the request for a division. The
division has been withdrawn. The A1 amendment does not pass. Next amendment, Representative Atkins, A4.
Mr. Chair, if I might, the A1, if the chair would abide by it without objection, rather than propose it as a referendum. I am concerned, and I think members on both sides, including the party opposite, as former Representative Lippman used to say, would like to at least know that there's some local endorsement. This conceivably could go from 50 tables, Representative Beard, to 100 or 200 or 500. There's no limit on it. It would do everybody's heart good, I think, if we at least had a city council resolution or something just that folks are supportive of it. I'd offer the A1 with a small oral amendment, which is on, if I might, on line 1.7, from the word eligible through the word referendum. Delete those words.
So let me get you straight, Representative Atkins. You're taking the A1 language again that just failed, proposing it, and you're suggesting a oral modification?
I am, Your Honor, if okay. The chair would entertain it.
So Representative Atkins moves the A1 amendment again.
The amended A1, Your Honor.
And the amended A1. And I'll have Liz read it out as it was orally amended.
Mr. Chair, page 1, line 7 would now read, majority of city council members vote for the use of. And then page 1, line 11, be the same change so that it says where the majority of city council members vote for the. So instead of having the approval by the majority of eligible voters, it would be the approval by the majority of city council members.
Everybody understand the new modified A1 amendment?
The new and improved A1 amendment, Mr. Chair. And I doubt, Mr. Chair, if I might, that it requires much in terms of an explanation. It just is simply an opportunity for the local city council, and I don't know, but I'm assuming that Canterbury has a good relationship with the city of Shakopee, but it would just do my heart good, I assume everybody's, to have the city say, yes, it's a good idea.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Beard.
I also am concerned about Representative Atkins' heart. So he would be pleased to know that there is a conditional use permit for that industrially zoned facility that allows them to do anything that's within the scope of their gaming license. And, of course, if we modify the gaming license, that'll be just fine with them, whether it's snowmobile races or tractor pools or outdoor music concerts, horse racing, and everything else that goes on there under the sun. The city council, I'm sure, does not have any problem with some more folks playing cards there. That would be the least intrusive of the uses that go on at Canterbury Park. So I would respectfully speak against this amended amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Atkins.
It sounded like you were speaking in favor of it, Representative Beard. I'd ask for a roll call, please.
Representative Atkins asked for a roll call. Any other discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was just surveying.
Representative Beard.
I was just surveying the audience to make sure that there are city council members here from Shakopee who would care to speak in favor or
Kathy?
In opposition, and there's no one here. Somebody. I guess I am their representative today.
Okay. Representative Emery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Beard, my understanding is you actually do represent this district.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Emery, yes. The city of Shakopee is entirely within the district that I've been elected to represent.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Beard, have the city council members been contacting you in opposition to this proposal?
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Emery, no, they have not.
Well, I would think, Mr. Chairman, I would think the party that actually represents the district would be in touch with the folks that are there and should be comfortable in knowing what their wishes are. So I would vote against this amendment as well.
Any other discussion? Not the clerk will take the roll.
Westrom.
No.
Beard.
No.
Sharon.
No.
Emmer.
No.
Erickson.
No.
Gunther. Hackbarth.
No.
Hoppy. Lanning.
No.
Powell.
No.
Simpson.
No.
Westerberg.
No.
Sellers.
No.
Anderson.
Aye.
Atkins.
Aye.
Hanson.
Yes.
Hilty.
Aye.
Huntley.
Aye.
Johnson.
Yes.
Lesh.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rude.
Yes.
Thiessen.
Yes.
Walker.
Yes.
A motion does not prevail on a tie vote. Representative Atkins, you got A4. Representative Atkins, there's more amendments to be handed out. Do you have other amendments to this bill that you wish to present? Just like to have them out before we get to a vote. So if you could.
5 and 7.
5 and 7? All right. Representative Atkins moves the A4 amendment. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A4 proposes a modest tax on the additional tables, 15%. I appreciate your support.
Any discussion, Representative Beard?
Mr. Chairman and members, yes. The Canterbury Park Seed Corporation currently pays about 9% of gross revenue in federal and state taxes. My fond hope is that that number, I don't know if the percentage will go up, certainly the aggregate dollars will, as the track continues to grow and prosper. If there's going to be a tax on the card playing portion beyond the commitment to the purses, I would just assume that came on in the tax committee rather than on this bill. And I hasten to add that our friends at Canterbury Park are amenable to that discussion and having a special tax go on eventually. But I would oppose respectfully this amendment in this committee for adding taxes to this adventure.
Any other discussion?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. For the author of the amendment again, Representative Atkins, I realize you don't represent this area, but this seems to be a broader amendment. We're talking about just a minor tax on the wagering. Do you know, sir, Representative Atkins, what under the compact the local tribal entity pays in terms of taxes on wagering?
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, no.
Representative Emmer.
Does anybody know that? Mr. Chairman?
I don't know. Does anybody know the answer to that question?
Mr. Chairman, I can speak only slightly to it in this regard. Because of the sovereignty status, which we respect greatly, there are no taxes paid. However, there are payments in lieu of taxes and cooperations between the different governmental entities, and I happen to represent, not only the city of Shakopee, but in the entire city of Prior Lake and our friends at the Midwakanan and Mystic Lake community. And they do cooperate among the three governmental entities on road projects, sewer and water projects, and so on and so forth. But because of sovereignty issues, which we respect, there is no taxation that flows from the reservation to the local entities of government.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Emmer.
Representative Beard, the bank card games that we're talking about for Canterbury, do they have similar games down the street at the tribal casino?
Mr. Chairman, without being an expert in card games, because folks, you got to recognize that my grandkids come to my house to beat me at Old Maid. So I'm not a card guy. But from what I do know about it, yes, there are bank games out at Mystic Lake, and they do very well with them. If you consider 21 to be card games, thanks, Paul. And I believe they are, unless somebody tells me otherwise. 21 Blackjack, I think we call it, are bank games. And yes, they have at Mystic, do very well with them.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, last question. Representative Beard, under the applicable compact, can we, and in spite of the sovereign status, can we adjust the, I suppose, state take on those games at all?
Representative Beard?
Mr. Chairman and members, the short answer would be no.
Senator Emmer, any follow-up?
No, other than then why are we doing this?
Any other questions on the discussion on this amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to raise this question later, but since Representative Beard made a reference to the commitment to the purses. Representative Beard, in looking over this bill, I don't see any particular commitment to enhancing the purses. Is there such a commitment?
Senator Beard?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hilty, within these statutes, they're not all referred to in this bill. This only refers to the portions of the bill that are actually being modified. There actually is a commitment that when they reach a certain dollar level, and if you want the exact numbers, I could call another testifier, but a minimum of 14% of the rate has to go to... has to go to the purses. At the moment, they're actually contributing 15% of the rate, which has brought the purses up quite a bit from when we started in 1999. And that would continue. Any new revenues that accrue under this scenario, we'd imagine a minimum 14% of those would be contributed. And as profitability increases because of the relationship between the horsemen and the track, I imagine 15% would continue, if not more.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Beard, my recollection from the end of last session was that this bill had come with a, seems to me it was 5 or 6 or 6.5% tax, and that the folks at Canterbury were supportive of that. Has that changed?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Atkins, the number hasn't been discussed. The supportiveness of some sort of a revenue stream has been, and my impression is that they are amenable to it. However, if you recall last year's bill, that tax was actually installed in another committee, not in this one. And I would prefer that the same thing happen this year.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Atkins.
Representative Beard, it just seems like an odd thing to do to have a separate bill, separate from this one, to take that up when this is the vehicle that is... expanding the card club and is on the topic. Would you object to having at least a placeholder put in the bill? We can fill in the amount later. You said that they're amenable, but simply that says either tax or fee in lieu of tax added to the bill, and then that you said yourself that that could be taken up by the tax committee. Does that sound like something you could support?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the offer. No.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A4 amendment, say aye.
Roll call, please.
Give the roll call down.
Oh, roll call. Clerk will take the roll.
Weston?
No.
Beard?
No.
Sharon?
No.
Emmer?
No.
Erickson?
No.
Gunther? Hackworth?
No.
Hoppy? Lanning?
No.
Powell?
No.
Simpson?
No.
Westerberg?
No.
Zellers?
No.
Anderson?
Aye.
Atkins?
Aye.
Hansen?
Yes.
Tilty?
Yes.
Huntley?
Aye.
Johnson?
Yes.
Lesh?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rude?
Yes.
Thiessen?
Yes.
Walker?
A motion does not prevail. 11-11 tie. Representative Atkins, A5.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Atkins moves the A5 amendment. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A5 does with the net proceeds what the folks at Canterbury have said they're going to do with the net proceeds. It just puts it in the bill. Says it would be used for an equestrian center, which is what they were all supportive of and why we were here talking for many, many hours last session. And I would put a small oral amendment into that as well on line 1.7 that says that the net proceeds need to be used for the equestrian center, and after the word center, add the word and purses.
Representative Atkins amends his amendment by inserting the word and purses after the word center on line 1.7.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Everybody have that?
Yep.
All right, Representative Atkins.
That's all I got. It just right. It just puts in statute or proposed statute what the proponents have said they're going to do with the money.
Representative Atkins, you'll vote for the bill then?
I don't know. I'll have to see the final version, Mr. Chair, but thank you for asking.
Representative Beard, any comment?
Excuse me, just a minute, Mr. Chairman. I would, again, speak against this amendment. If this was the Racino bill, which had the equestrian proposal in it, there would be plenty of surplus cash to build the equestrian center. I wouldn't be surprised as the track prospers if they build it anyhow. To codify it in statute, though, I think defies good business planning, and so I would respectfully decline this amendment. Ask you to vote against it.
Any other discussion?
The only thing I'd add, Mr. Chair, if I might, seems like we talk about having local support, but we don't want to ask for that. Talk about asking or saying that there's support to pay some revenues to the state in the form of taxes, but we don't want to put that in the bill. Talk about the money going towards equestrian centers and purses, but we don't want to put that in the bill. Kind of wondering what folks are afraid of. If maybe I'm being sold a bill of goods here, I kind of like to get things down in writing so that we know for sure that it's actually going to occur rather than just take a leap of faith. And I'm beginning to wonder what exactly is going on, if all these things are going to be opposed, if maybe, in fact, we're being sold an egg rather than a thoroughbred.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Emmer.
If we're making statements, Mr. Chairman, what I'd say to Representative Atkins looking at this is, while it is everybody's right to question these things, it seems to me that your amendment falls short. If you truly want to regulate this business, I suggest to you, sir, that maybe you want to put in the plans and specs for the building you want built as well. The bigger concern for me with the amendments that are being offered is that we've got a legislator from the district that represents the actual people in the district who has offered a bill that apparently is supported by the constituents in his district. I think he's probably in a better position to address these issues, and so far I have yet to hear that somebody came in and had a problem with any of the issues you're bringing up. And again, I respect your knowledge and your expertise, but again, the district you represent is 30 miles away and doesn't have any of these gaming operations in it. I think we should give the author a little bit more credit.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, I am giving him credit. I'm just trying to put in the bill exactly what's been represented in the bill, and I'm just operating under the assumption that from now on, Representative Emmer, that if I ever present a bill relative to Amber Grove, everybody on both sides just take my word for it. And, I appreciate that. Thank you very much,
Mr. Chairman. I usually
give
your word.
Representative Hunter.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to remind the members that the title on our election certificate is State Representative.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. No. Motion does not prevail. Representative Beard, it's just about 3:15. I'm going to ask if you'll lay your bill on the table.
Mr. Chair, I will with temporarily. 7. I do not intend to offer the A7 amendment today.
A7? Is there any other amendments to this?
Yes,
Emmer,
yeah.
Representative Emmer, you have one?
Yep.
Is that the last amendment? Or?
This would be DEL1.
And actually, well, I don't know if we can get that. Representative Beard, is it all right if we still lay it over? I'm concerned we don't give some time for the witnesses we do know on future bills, and if there's time at the end of the day, we'll bring it back up, and Representative Emmer has one more amendment, I understand.
I can hardly wait, Mr. Chairman, to see what that is, but yes, I would be happy to lay House File 3100 on the table.
All right. Chair will lay it over on the table as amended. Thank you, Representative Beard. Representative Westerberg, let's see how far we can go on your bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Westerberg moves to the adoption of the division report.
Yes. So moved.
On House File 3194. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed,
aye.
Same sign. Motion carries. Representative Westerberg, tell us about your bill.
Well, Mr. Chair, there's an author's amendment to get the bill in the shape that I would like.
What's the?
A06-1156.
The Representative Westerberg moves the A06.
1156.
1156 amendment. Any questions on that, or can we get it in the shape the author wants it? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Representative Westerberg, tell us about your bill in its amended form.
Mr. Chair and members, this is just simply a technical bill with numerous technical and housekeeping changes throughout the bill. It's fairly simple. The two really big things in the bill deals with the need to provide some waivers, you know, in the housekeeping part of handling the credits for charitable gambling organizations, and then also putting in statute that the board has the ability to impose some sanctions and penalties if it's not complied with. And with that, members, I'm just going to turn it over to Tom Barrett here to say a few words on the bill, too.
Mr. Barrett, so welcome to our committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Tom Barrett, Director of the Gambling Control Board. As Representative Westerberg pointed out, it's primarily technical in nature. 10 of the 25 provisions involve bingo, the conduct of bingo. Last session, there's a number of changes, allowances to allow handheld bingo devices, link bingo. And so we've added provisions of clarification in that respect. Of note, there are a couple of issues related to the expense limitations. There is a provision here to allow a waiver request for those organizations that might find themselves in trouble. I know there's some concerns out there from, there's another bill that's being considered in regards to that, and we are working with the industry in terms of tweaking that particular provision. But the provisions in front do good things as far as regulation of charitable gambling. It also allows some latitude to the organizations that are conducting the charitable gambling in terms of their operations, such as the bingo.
Any question? Mr. Barrett, Representative Westerberg, is this the bill that has a modified version of Representative Seifert's bill that dealt with some concerns by the charitable gambling operations and some of the actual expenses versus allowable expenses?
Yes, but Mr. Chairman, it has provisions for a waiver request, which is our first attempt at trying to resolve the issue that's out there in regards to Representative Seifert's bill. But I met this morning with Senator Rest, who's carrying the bill on the Senate side, and had her blessing to continue to draft some modifications or amendments that more closely aligns with Representative Seifert's concerns. We're not there yet. But there are provisions in this bill that were put in to address the concerns of those organizations that are exceeding the expense limits.
Thank you. So where's some of the charities on this? Are they signed off to this language or willing to work on some more fix yet?
Well, Mr. Chair, with all due respect, and Mr. Wilson, I'm sure, can add his 2 cents, I don't think we're there yet. The provisions that are currently in the bill, I believe, are acceptable. They understand that we're still working on provision, and like I said this morning with Senator Rest, to get the assurances we could continue to work on that. But I would defer to representatives for the charities to confirm that.
It was not Westerberg.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I have to agree with everything Mr. Barrett said here. We'll allow Mr. Wilson here to testify on it. It's still a little bit of a work in progress, but we are extremely close to having a solution in remedying this problem. So we're real close. Mr. Wilson can say a few words.
Mr. Wilson, Representative Easton, should I let him talk first, or do you have a question?
I think we can just do a quick. Mr. Chair,
Representative Season.
Thank you. The provision dealing with being able to pay for leases, is that addressed in this bill? And we in the past we've had an issue with covering being able to cover lease costs. You're not changing that law in this bill.
Mr. Barrett.
Mr. Chair, Representative Season, no.
Mr. Wilson, please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is King Wilson. I'm the executive director of Allied Charities of Minnesota, the trade association representing charitable gambling organizations. With the amendment that you adopted at the beginning that cleared up three areas of concerns that we had about the bill in a way that works for us. On the allowable expense Seifert thing, as both Representative Westerberg and Mr. Barrett said, we are continuing to work together to find a solution that will work for all of us. I think we are indeed getting closer, and I believe in having talked to Representative Westerberg and Representative Seifert as the bill moves forward to the floor, I think, you know, the idea is to get it worked out, and in the near future, before it should come up for a floor vote, I think we will find a solution that will work for all of us.
Okay, so Mr. Wilson, you're comfortable with us moving it, and then if we can strike a more palatable deal between the parties, you're comfortable with that, and you think that's well on its way to completion?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay, well, for what it's worth, Representative Westerberg and Mr. Wilson and Mr. Barrett, I'd like to see that as well before we bring it up on the final vote on the floor. I know I've got constituents and Representative Seifert and others have concern, and if we can find a middle ground, that'd be my preference as well. So you guys keep working on it, but that sounds good. Any other questions on the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Atkins.
I missed it at the beginning. Where was this bill moved to?
The House floor, the General Register. Actually, you know, that's a good point. We haven't made that motion. Representative Westerberg moves to House File 3194 to be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register.
Oh.
There. Does that answer your question, Representative Westerberg? As the bill as amended.
It does. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
When's my amendment?
Representative Beard, you have an amendment to this.
I do.
Please tell us, please move your amendment. What is it? A1 amendment? Representative Beard moves the A1
amendment.
Amendment.
To House File 3194. I'm sorry I had to step out for a moment there, but the gist of this is basically it's my House File 3100 with everything out of it, except it deletes the language that caps card table limits at Canterbury Park. Members, if I'm a realist here, and at the end of the day, I'd like the card table limits looked at Canterbury Park. If something should happen to my other house file or it stalls or what happens, at the end of the day, I'd like the card table limits lifted at Canterbury Park. And this merely does that. It puts a wager limit of $60 a wager and a wager for the entire game, $300 per game, and lifts the table limits. Pretty simple amendment, and I'd like to attach it to Representative Westerberg's House File 3194, if you please.
Any questions? Representative Atkins.
For the author of the amendment, Representative Beard, you and I have great respect for the institution and the testament and the practices of the institution. My understanding is this bill made its way through the division was that this was a technical bill. In fact, I expected to weigh in as soon as I had an opportunity to say this is a good bill, and it's a lot of housekeeping items that deserve attention and ought to be done, and our charitable gambling institutions and groups really deserve our support. Your amendment obviously would make it a non-technical, substantive, controversial bill. Is that your intention, Representative Beard?
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chairman and to Representative Atkins and members, no. My intention is, at the end of the day, to lift the card table limits at Canterbury Park. You'll notice that there are no video poker games in here. You'll notice that there's no bank games or dealer games. It's business as usual, with the rake only, and just we lift the pesky 50 table limit, which is stifling the market at Canterbury Park. That's all this does. It strikes me as a pretty simple maneuver. I'm sorry if it doesn't strike you that way, but see how the committee feels, I guess.
Representative Gunther, Beard, is is this moving in the Senate, or what? Have you talked to anybody in the Senate? Is this something objectionable to the Senate?
Mr. Chairman, I never presume to speak for the Senate. However, I'm aware just from folks who care about this that it's being talked about over there, and there seems to be some small temperature that's somewhat above freezing for this for lifting the table limits. Now, my House Bill 3100 might be a little too rich for the Senate, but I'm hopeful, members, that lifting the card table limits, just merely doing that, will find some positive reception there this year. After all, members, it is about the horses. It's about the horses.
Further discussion on this amendment as well as the bill.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Westerberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To me, I think, you know, the bill is pretty much technical in nature, but I don't think that this would add a significant amount of weight to the bill itself. I think that it's okay. Something that would work. And so I guess I would speak in favor of the amendment.
Representative Westerberg, I'd like to get to the next bill, and so, Representative Beard.
Mr. Chairman, why don't I, if this is causing a little more heartburn, that's not really my style. Let me pull this amendment.
Representative,
work with just a straight bill.
Representative Beard withdraws his amendment for now. Representative Westerberg, I'm going to, is it all right if we lay your bill on the table and then Representative Erickson and the testifiers that were?
No, Mr. Chair.
Of course, no, Mr. Chair.
I'm just kidding.
maybe that bill doesn't even need to be on the agenda, huh?
As always, Mr. Chair, we're willing to work with you.
If that's all right, Representative Westerberg, the chair will lay House File 3194 on the table for now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
As amended. Representative Erickson, I'd like to get to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm right here in front of you at the microphone. I'd like to move the division report for House File 3215.
You have no controversy in your bill, I'm
assuming? Absolutely not. This is an exciting day.
That's good.
I love it.
Representative Erickson moves the adoption of the division report for House File 3215. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 3215 to be before the committee.
Representative Erickson, move House File 3215.
To be referred to taxes.
To pass and re-referred to taxes. All those in favor? No.
Not quite yet. And, Mr. Chair,
Representative Erickson, tell us about your bill, and I know you've got some out-of-town testifiers we'd like to...
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move my amendment, though, the A061246, which limits gains to video pull tabs.
Okay. Yep. There's an amendment, A.
861246.
Representative Erickson moves that amendment to get the bill in the shape the author wishes. Tell us just a little about that amendment. What does it do?
Mr. Chair and committee, it limits the video lottery to video pull tabs only. In other words, it deletes video keno and video poker from the bill.
Okay. Representative Erickson, we're looking for that amendment here, so...
Well, I delivered it Friday.
Mr. Chair, I have a question about it while we're waiting for the amendment, but I've not seen any of my testimony.
What's that, Representative Erickson?
I just have a question about it as we're waiting for the amendment.
Okay, go ahead.
Perhaps Representative Erickson can... can better tell us, Representative Erickson, if I were to walk in and look at a device that sells video pull tabs, I assume it would differ quite substantially from a slot machine in its appearance. Mm-hmm. Can you describe the vast differences between the video pull tab machine and the slot machine?
Representative Erickson.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Atkins, for asking that question, because we're going to have a very unique machine designed to suit this bill. It will look different from most other machines. The manufacturer, I think, is willing and ready to design a game that will just be very specific to pull tabs. And though it may have some flashing lights and not be in black and white, which does not suit today's consumers, it will look a little different. And until we work with the manufacturer, we're not going to know that.
Representative Erickson, just a question. Do some members have this amendment and some not?
In my packet.
You all have it. Everyone's got it in their packets. Okay. Not over here?
Somebody? We don't.
Yeah.
At least some of us do.
Some do and some don't.
Trust me, Mr. Chair. It's a good amendment.
There's a few over there that won't have it. Any other discussion on the amendment to get the bill in the shape the author wants it? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion prevails. Representative Erickson, to the bill as amended, do you have some testifiers, or do you want to tell us briefly about the bill?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee, and I want you to note that Representative Otremba has joined me at the testifier.
Welcome, Representative Otremba.
We are the two chief authors of this bill, and we would like to have all those in the audience who are small business owners who would be eligible for this video lottery to please stand at this time. And thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you. Representative Otremba and I appreciate the support. House File 3215 has as its marquee the fact that we're going to try very hard to move into the era of high tech, the 21st century. This is a bill that moves from paper pull tabs to high tech pull tabs. And as I mentioned just moments ago, the manufacturer can do, the sky's the limit as far as designing a game for us. So this move, I think we all have to agree, will increase the integrity of pull tabs that are used, keep in mind, Representative Atkins, I heard you say it moments ago, to support our charitable causes. This is a very important bill for small business that have contracts with organizations that sponsor charitable gambling. So this is a 2-for-1. This helps small business, and this is going to send dollars into the charitable industry. Just to give you an example, in 2004, our charitable organizations gave $53 million to charities. And until the popularity of paper pull tabs wears thin, this will continue. But the market is going to drive this. Keep in mind that the market drives gambling. And there's no question about it. You ask John McCarthy and he'll tell you. The market drives what they do. The market drives what happens in the pull tab industry too. And as the market drives toward video pull tabs, we will have an increase in charitable dollars, at least according to my speculations. And according to the fiscal note that's been prepared by the lottery, video pull tabs will bring in about $38 million. And that could be in addition to what's already being garnered from charitable gambling and video paper pull tabs presently. For example, at my Legion Club in Princeton, and I'm a proud member of my Legion Auxiliary. In fact, I won the legislative award several years in a row for helping to bring forth some good veterans legislation, and I'm very proud of that. But my Legion Club and my VFW Club in Princeton will be able to restore many of the youth activities that they've had to put on hold over the years as we legislators piled a little bit higher and a little bit higher the regulations on them, increasing licensing fees and adding other provisions, which you heard in Representative Westerberg's bill, we're trying to amend now. But just as important is the regulation that goes with this industry. This regulation will be through the state lottery. The state lottery will have a mainframe, and every transaction will be known by them, and every payout will be known by them, and they will have a way to track by checks and balances of all transactions. Furthermore, I have included a penalty for fraud. But again, I want to remind you that the marquee of 3215 is to move from a mechanical industry to a high-tech industry, a change much needed in the 21st century for increased integrity for our pull tab industry. And this bill respects the casino gaming industry. I did a lot of reading between the last time I was before some of you and today. And there's no question, people like my late in-laws loved to go to Grand Casino. They lived in Avon. They hopped a bus in Albany. And they went and spent the day at Grand Casino because they felt safe there. They felt secure. They enjoyed the less expensive food. That's not going to go away. That offers options for locals who like to socialize in a setting like casino gaming.
We're going to have to get to the witnesses soon.
Well, yes, but I'm just laying my base, Mr. Chair.
Okay, well, you're taking from their time, so.
Well, okay, so I'll get going here. You know, the pull tab industry is a good one for socializing, too, which is the point I wanted to make. There are those who love casino gaming, and there are those of us who love to socialize after an auxiliary meeting, for example. And though I have never purchased a pull tab, my friends do. They love to. And so after auxiliary, we join the men upstairs today in RJ's 2 at Princeton, and I watch my friends enjoy their pull tabs. I just would rather give cash. Nevertheless, they love to do it, and I love to see them doing it because we have a cause. We have a charitable cause. The members of the Onamia Bets Club, Angela, are not going to stop going to Grand Casino just because of 5 video lottery machines at the Onamia Bets Club, because you offer amenities that they can't at a Legion Club, for example. This bill is not about more spending. It's about dedicating funds. And with that, Mr. Chair, we'd like to hear from those who came here to testify. And I want to thank Representative Otremba again very much for joining me at the table. And if she'd like to say something.
Representative Otremba, would you want to make some comments on this bill, and then we'll call some witnesses?
Mr. Chair, I think I'd give my time to the witnesses. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And, Mr. Chair, I think we have Ken Rockler and... Charlie Meyer, who would like to come and testify?
Charlie
Myers.
And Ken? Why don't we try to keep testimony to 10 minutes, proponents, 10 minutes, opponents. So if we can try to package what you say, that'd be most helpful. Mr. Rockwell, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman Westrom.
Please identify yourself for the record, and welcome, Charlie.
Chairman Westrom, members of the committee, my name is Ken Rockler, and I'm the Executive Director of the Tavern League of Minnesota and the Bowling Proprietors Association of Minnesota. I'm here to urge you to move forward Representative Erickson's House File 3215, allowing electronic pull tabs. This bill is a win-win-win scenario. The people of Minnesota and the state government of Minnesota realize over $850 million per biennium just on the initial slowdown from this bill. See that in the fiscal note that was prepared for the last meeting last Tuesday. Thousands of tax-paying Minnesota businesses and their employees will be paying additional millions of dollars in state income tax. Communities large and small throughout Minnesota will benefit as those dollars circulate through the communities and more jobs are created and maintained. Charitable organizations will receive over $75 million per biennium in addition to the proceeds that they currently receive and will continue to receive from paper pull tabs. Video pull tabs will be in locations that are licensed for adult beverages and already have pull tabs. I would appeal to this body and to the entire legislature that whatever your primary focus is, whether it's health care, education, transportation, park and recreation, or a myriad of other worthwhile causes, this bill produces hundreds of millions of dollars for those causes. Thank you for being able to speak to you.
Thank you, Mr. Rockler. Mr. Meyer?
Mr. Chairman,
welcome to our committee. First, I got to do a little advertisement. If members Charlie Myers from Alexandria, and if you get past Charlie's Cafe on I-94 in Freeport, head to Alexandria, where we've got a brand new bowling alley, restaurant, and wedding reception auditorium. Well,
thank you, Mr. Fairman, for the advertisement.
Welcome to the
help.
Welcome to the committee.
And that's why I'm here.
I had a bowl of soup there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And to the rest of the committee, I'm Charlie Meyer from Alexandria, Minnesota. Garden Center Lane's Fat Daddy's Bar and Grill. We've been in the hospitality entertainment business for over 30 years now. And a bill like this in rural Minnesota, greater Minnesota, however you want to word it, in the outstate, is greatly needed for all small business. A lot of small business owners out there suffering. There are so many destination points that are away from our area that this is just something that can help keep them closer to home, where the money is being spent also with the local charities and also with them businesses. Like, as you know, it turns that much more, and it means that much more to a smaller community. And this bill will help every community in the state of Minnesota, not just a handful. So we appreciate any consideration you can give us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Meyer. And Mr. Rockler, is there any other testifiers you have from on the proponent side?
No, I think that's it for us.
Let's open it up for some questions. Any questions, committee members? Any immediate questions? Seeing none, good job. We do have some opponents that would like to testify. Let's ask them to come to the table. And you did it in less than 5 minutes. Angela Ikus?
Yeah, Angela.
And John McCarthy. Please identify yourself for the record and welcome to our committee.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John McCarthy, Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association. And while we are certainly sympathetic to any small business that is experiencing financial difficulty, we do not believe that this type of placing of machines in neighborhood bars is the answer to solve their problem. We oppose this proposal, first because it expands gambling by authorizing the state lottery director to play slot machines in bars. There are some who would try and make the case that video lottery terminals or video pull tabs are different from slot machines, but most experts who are in the gambling business all agree the differences are so minor that to call this form of gambling anything but video slots is ludicrous. This proposal isn't new to Minnesota, as it has been offered in previous sessions in one form or another. I believe in 2001 we saw a similar proposal authorizing 10 slot machines per bar. Under this proposal, for 5 slots per location, we estimate it would put about 30,000 new machines into the local Minnesota neighborhoods. Every poll and survey taken over the last 15 years has found that Minnesotans are overwhelmingly opposed to neighborhood gambling. If we want an example of what video lottery can bring to Minnesota, all we have to do is look to our neighbors in South Dakota. Almost everywhere you turn, you'll find slots in South Dakota. Bowling alleys, pizza parlors, restaurants, and bars all offer slots. I believe that Minnesotans are concerned about turning our state into Las Vegas, but they're equally concerned about authorizing slots and bars in local neighborhoods like South Dakota did. I don't know how many members of the committee watched the Almanac show a few weeks back, but Governor Pawlenty was the first guest, and the lead-off question asked the governor was regarding his position this session on gambling. And while not quoting the governor's response, he basically said that he had moved on with regards to supporting gambling proposals. I can't help but wonder what the motivation is for so many bills being brought forward this year. I strongly urge members of this committee to reject these proposals and all proposals that will open expanded gambling. I believe that the majority of Minnesotans believe we have more than enough gambling in our state, and that the gambling that we have is for the most part destination gambling, not convenience gambling, as video lottery slots are often referred to. Authorizing over 30,000 slots in neighborhood bars is not a venue that they would favor. Thank you for your time and attention, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Angela, do you want to say something, and then we'll open up to questions?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Angela Hikas, and I am the Vice President of Gaming Planning and Analysis for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. And I guess I want to talk to you today really to express our opposition to gambling expansion of the state, and most focused, I guess, really on the impact that we believe that we'll have to our gaming operations. Our gaming operations that we manage are Grand Casino Hinckley in Hinckley, Minnesota, and Grand Casino Mille Lacs in Onamia, Minnesota. And I think understanding today that the bill has been amended, but really looking at this as an expansion of gambling, especially given the dollars, the millions of dollars that are being talked about, they having the ability to be kind of returned to the state coffers, that that money has to come from somewhere. There really is, we look at a number of different things, and I think being operators in the market, for the time that we've been operators in the market, have the ability to understand our market, where that market share comes from, and it really affords us the ability to do lots of analysis in terms of what's going on in the Minnesota market, what's going on as it relates to the amount of gaming dollars that are kind of moving around in the market. And just given the longevity, the length of time that gaming has been in Minnesota, Minnesota is a market that is a relatively mature market. Gaming dollars are kind of moving from one entity to another and moving around, and certainly the addition of additional video lottery terminals and bars is going to be taking that revenue and money from somewhere. And we strongly believe, given where we are and our locations, that it is going to have an impact and take away in us in terms of guest counts and also take away in terms of revenues. To give a little bit of an idea, because of the fact about maturity of market, and also that really location is a key driver to consideration, that now you have a number of these lottery terminals located in very in communities, and certainly makes it more convenient for people to game, gives us a greater difficulty in terms of driving that market to our particular facilities. What we want to convey is what that means for us. It means, of course, in terms of two rural economies where we have built the casino operations that we've built without a dollar of state revenues. It means lower jobs, it means lower revenues, and really a direct impact on, I think, that employment and those opportunities that we have been able to create in those two particular areas. We employ over 3,000 people in those communities, virtually touches 30 Minnesota counties. 94% of our jobs are held by individuals that are not Native American. What I think is more important in that position is we have been able to return to those rural communities health care benefits, and we are covering nearly 4,500 lives with those associates in those particular areas. What this means for us, of course, expanded gaming, lower revenues. There's a trickle-down kind of impact. I think there's a trickle-down impact not only to what the Mille Lacs Band has been allowed to do, but also what that means for all of those people that are working in our communities, the economic development that is occurring in our communities because of that expansion. It certainly means job reductions, reduction of economic viability, and reduction of the amount of money that we spend with local vendors, a reduction in the amount of traffic that we have the ability to drive to these particular rural areas. And there's lots of, you know, spin-off of that in terms of what is probably touching local businesses that we see. So really, I want to relay, I think, our key message in being that this is expanded gaming, and that expanded gaming has to come from somewhere, and we believe there's a strong impact to us. And I want you to, I guess, keep in mind those particular consequences as you consider this particular bill or any particular gaming expansion bill. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hikas, I have a question. Relatively mature, whenever somebody puts relatively in front of something, it always concerns me. Relatively mature, my understanding is gambling, we've had lawful gambling for about 15 years now. I don't know many 15-year-olds that are relatively, I suppose they are relatively mature. You talked in your presentation about taking money away. You talked about in this market, gaming dollars are moving around, and if you allow this proposal, it'll take dollars away. Ma'am, the particular folks that you represent have in fact been expanding their operation for the entire 15 years that lawful gambling's been allowed. Isn't that correct?
Since we have been open, modified our operations, expanded our operations in terms of driving the amenities that we believe our guests would like, and we have done that in the confines of what is allowed under IGRA and also what is allowed under the compact with the state. So we have not gone outside the bounds of our trust lands or tribal gaming entities or operations in terms of expanding gaming.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Hikas, let's be clear, though. My question was very narrow. Your answer was much broader. In fact, the tribe that you represent, this particular operation, has not only expanded its gaming, but tribal gaming operations where they exist in the state of Minnesota have been growing at a breakneck pace. Isn't that true?
Ms. Hikas?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I can only speak for the Mille Lacs Band. But we have we've grown our businesses as it relates to market. We've grown amenities, and like I said before, we've certainly done that though within the confines of what is allowed under the compact.
One more, Ms. Hikas, the point I'm trying to get at is really it's kind of misleading. I believe to suggest that this would be an expansion of gambling based on your own statements, because you're saying that if this were allowed, it would actually reduce gaming at the tribal casino. So, in effect, we're not expanding it at all. We're simply just spreading those dollars out, as you're talking about. Isn't that true?
Ms. Hikas?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I think what we're talking about here, when I talk about mature market in the state of Minnesota being around for 15 years, those people that want to game certainly are gaming. What we are doing certainly at Mille Lacs, and if we're driving market share, we're certainly probably taking that market share from others. As we're taking a look at what we do in terms of expansion, we are really also focusing and turning our business on amenity expansion in terms of hotels and restaurants and trying to drive, you know, people to our entities. But when I talk about market maturity, when we're talking about, I think, the revenue numbers that are being presented here, those are significant dollars. And those significant dollars are going to come somewhere within that particular gaming industry. And that's why we're talking about there being impact. I think for us, there's also greater impact given the rural location of our facilities and having to drive that kind of market share and traffic, you know, out of the Minneapolis, St. Paul metro area.
Thank you. Any other questions for the witnesses?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to remind the committee and those in the audience that this is not video slots. This is one game called Video Pull Tabs. It is not going to be a slot machine. And Mr. McCarthy says there is no difference between Class 2 and Class 3. Then we probably should start a compact agreement on Class 2 gaming. Certainly, White Earth has stepped outside their boundaries. They now have machines of some kind. My friends tell me they're slot machines, and I know there was an ad in the Minneapolis Star Tribune a few Sundays ago advertising a bar for sale in Manoman that has slots. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but, you know, there is evidence that perhaps there's been a stepping out of what's allowed in the compact. Since those bars in Manoman would be in Indian country, but not on trust land, which is the requirement of the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. Finally, the charitable gambling industry in Minnesota is a $1.4 billion industry. That's, you know, and that's presently with casino gaming. No gaming. 18 casinos in the state, and we still generate $1.4 billion. So,
thank you, Representative Erickson. Now, Mr. McCarthy did raise, she reminded me that your testimony started off with calling it slots in bars. Can you justify your language? Because I've been strict with the author and the proponents that indeed this is not a slot machine, it's an electronic pull tab machine. How do you justify your statement that you made earlier? And secondly, have you guys expanded gambling?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. In response to the first question, in my opinion, and I have been somewhat involved in the gaming industry, these are slot machines. There is not a device of the nature, I believe, and I believe that Representative Erickson indicated that the machine is not even designed at this point. I can assure you that the people that will design it are people that design slot machines. So, in my opinion, they are slot machines. As far as bars are concerned, it appears as though that's where they're going to locate them. And I think if we want to take a look at proliferation, again, we can look, and in relation to some of the questions Mr. Emmer raised, Representative Emmer raised, if we want to look at that kind of situation, we just have to look at South Dakota, where the market has been so flooded that basically no one is making any money except the state. And in your case, maybe that's a good deal. I don't know. But in relation to the expansion issue, and I believe Ms. Heikes hit on that, Mr. Chairman, the tribes were allowed under the compacts, which were fairly negotiated between the tribes and the state of Minnesota, to do certain things. They have stuck to exactly what the compact called for. They have not gone outside that compact. They have not asked for new games. And in our opinion, that is expansion. And just from a statistical standpoint, I believe in the last 15 years, we have probably seen a doubling of the number of machines. Now, you've seen some major construction at these facilities via hotels, by way of golf courses, other amenities. And so people, I think, get confused about the term expansion. We are not limited to the number of machines, never were. Representative Erickson talked about it earlier. It's somewhat market-driven. So, and I think finally, one of the issues that I believe people need to look at, and Ms. Heikes somewhat pointed it out, this kind of an expansion will cost jobs. As a matter of fact, it will cost jobs in Representative Erickson's own district, because the tribes will not be able to maintain the level that they're maintaining now, and will have to lay people off, plain and simple. Bottom line is going to determine that. I hope that answers your question, Mr. Chairman.
Well, it brings up a little bit of the analogy, Mr. McCarthy. If you're standing in water but you think it's mud, does that change it from water to mud? I don't think so. I have a hard time with you both saying you're concerned about expanding gambling as part of your efforts to oppose this bill. I don't know how you can sit there with a straight face and really say that. You just both gave an answer walking all the way around the mud puddle to try to explain it, but I don't buy that. I don't buy that argument that you're concerned about expanding gambling in our state when, to my knowledge, every casino we've got in this state has probably doubled in size since they started, and every year probably adds more slot machines. The second point I guess I would make, and then Representative Emmer has a question, if the machine isn't even developed yet that this bill talks about, I think you're a little disingenuous calling it slots just because the same manufacturer might make the same machine. That would be saying just because a car company makes a car and then eventually makes a jet, that's an automobile. It's not the same thing. So I think you're disingenuous saying a machine that's already built is a slot machine, and a machine that's not even built yet is going to be the same thing, because it's not even built according to your testimony and in the specs in this bill. But Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a band playing behind me, a mariachi band, and I was distracted. Mr. McCarthy, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I'm trying to figure out something, because when you say, on the one hand, the tribal entities have not asked for more games, yet the very next breath you say, it's true, we've doubled the number of machines, so 100% increase. The definition of that regardless of what some people apparently around this, one of the bodies in this institution would like to talk about, embellishment or other terms, that to me is expansion. And the bigger problem I had when I was listening to you, which I'm trying to figure out since I've been here, is IGRA allowed the state to enter into these compacts about tribal gaming. But in order for the tribal entities to be able to operate these lawful gaming operations, the state has to already provide for similar opportunities to its citizens. And the problem I'm having, and maybe you could clear this up for me, I don't think there's a state law anywhere that authorizes slot machines. And I'm just, it's beyond me to understand, regardless of my problems with gaming in general, I'm having a difficult time understanding how the tribal gaming operations have not only been able to double slot machines, but how did they get them in the first place if the state didn't authorize them generally?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Emmer, in relation to the last part of the question, it's very technical. There were negotiations. There were federal court cases. And it was determined that, in fact, tribes had the right. And it was a little different than the way you pointed it out. IGRA didn't give the state anything in terms of authority. What it did is it penalized the tribes. Prior to IGRA, the tribes could do this without state involvement. The involvement of the state came in because the state complained that they had no place at the table. So when that was created, tribes were then forced to sit down and negotiate with the state, which they did. In regard to the expansion issue, and perhaps back to the chairman's question about the mud puddle in the water, what I'm referring to is that we have not, under this proposal, you have neighborhood gambling. That's expansion. That's a whole different thing than what you have today. You don't have machines in every convenience store. You don't have them in every bar. Under the present condition, what you have is you have the tribal casinos that are located in particular locations. You have to get in your car and drive to them. So there is a vast difference in terms of what we're talking about in terms of expansion. 30,000 new machines, I think we only have 20-some thousand machines in the state now. So we're talking about, I believe, a major expansion plus a major change in public policy to now allow for this type of device to be prolific in all parts of the state.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Emmer.
Thank you. Mr. McCarthy, again, you went back to this argument, which I think you and Ms. Hykus have already established that, in fact, it isn't an expansion at all. It's just shifting gaming dollars over a broader field. But I guess if you want to continue to talk about expansion, what I want to ask and re-ask is, can you tell me where, rather than saying it's a very complicated or very technical answer, where did the state authorize slot machines to go on tribal entities as part of lawful gaming? And I'm going to ask you to do this. Rather than give me, if you can give me a specific site, I'd like you to bring me a case, because you said there are numerous cases that have addressed the issues. I'd like to see the specific case or the specific statute that says, yes, in fact, the state is authorizing slot machines, and therefore, that's how they got onto the tribal gaming operations. That's what I'm interested in.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Emmer, you can very quickly find it in the 11 compacts that are signed by the state of Minnesota. It very clearly says the state of Minnesota authorizes video machines for tribes in the state, and so there it is.
Mr. Chairman, well, Mr. McCarthy, I told you I do read. I have read the 11 compacts. I'm not satisfied with the answer at all. You can say it's complicated, but again, there's nowhere in there where it says, and there's nothing in the state law that authorizes slot machines. Isn't that correct?
Mr. McCarthy, which state law are you referring to?
I'm asking you in general, Mr. Chairman, Mr. McCarthy, I'm asking you in general. Can you give me a specific state law that authorized slot machines?
Mr. McCarthy?
I'm a little confused by the question. There is, in my opinion, There is a federal case that was brought that authorized the federal government through the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act that mandated and authorized the tribes to sit down and negotiate with the state. In Minnesota, they had certain provisions for gambling. And in those provisions for gambling, it was determined that it included video machines because that's what they compacted for. If they did not allow that in the state of Minnesota, then they wouldn't have compacted for it. And that's as simple an answer, Representative Emmons, I can give you. I'm not trying to be evasive. It is complicated. And you would have to go back into the federal law. There is an attorney in the room that I think could probably explain this better to you than I can. But I do recall from the experience I had that that's where it originated from. And there are many other states that don't specifically have slot machines in their provisions earlier, but after IGRA they did, and they negotiated with tribes to have those machines. I believe that the long answer to that is that there was a challenge to that in federal court, and the determination was that they would allow that.
Representative Emmer, follow up, otherwise Representative Thiessen. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just, to Representative Erickson, at the beginning of your testimony, you mentioned some reference to the effect this would have on Mille Lacs, and I thought your reference was that in your impression, it's a different thing and it wouldn't have any effect on Mille Lacs. Did I hear that right?
Mr. Chair and Representative Thiessen, we've had neighborhood gambling going on since the DFL-controlled legislature enacted charitable gambling. This has been going on for years. So I think we've been operating side by side for at least 15 years with no effect. Pool tabs, as I said earlier, you know, generate $1 billion.
And Mr. Chair, and you also referenced that this is going to generate $38 million more dollars in the state in gambling. You've made some reference to that there's going to be more, $38 million more.
Mr. Chair, Representative Thiessen, because of the way the bill is set up, the net proceeds, 31% of the net proceeds will go to the retailer. Then out of that 31%, 29% goes to the charitable organizations that have contracts that sponsor charitable gambling. In this bill, that will generate $38 million. But presently, the paper pull tabs generate more than that. But paper pull tabs are not going to disappear overnight. I won't force that. That's up to the Gambling Control Board. I don't cross over into that venue.
And, Mr. Chair, but those the payouts to the state for paper versus electric, that's staying the same in the bill. It sounds to me then, Mr. Chair, that seems to me to be an expansion of gambling. If you're not taking it from the casinos, but you're generating $38 million more in money, that's got to come from somewhere, which means more people are gambling. So that would be, you know, this is an observation I have for Representative Ember and others.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Thiessen, that's always the way a transition works. You know, eventually this will be a wash and the market will drive it. But paper is not going to go away right away, so we have both venues at the same time. And this is a move to high tech to increase the integrity of pool tabs.
Representative Thiessen, any follow-up? Any other discussion? Discussion? Representative Atkins, you had some amendments. What's your wishes?
I did, Mr. Chair. In light of the referral to the Tax Committee, I believe that those are more suited for the Tax Committee to hear, so I don't intend to offer any amendments today.
Okay. Any other amendments?
Mr. Chair, I'll remove the motion then that House File 3215, as amended, be recommended to pass and be sent to taxes.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Reed,
respectfully request a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. No other amendments, no other discussion. The clerk will take the roll.
Buster?
Yes.
Beard?
Yes.
Sharon?
Aye.
Emmer?
Yes.
Erickson?
Yes.
Gunther?
Yes.
Hackbarth?
Aye.
Hoppe? Lanning?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Simpson?
Yes.
Westerberg?
Yes.
Zellers?
Aye.
Anderson?
No.
Atkins?
No.
Hanson?
No.
Hilty? Huntley?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Lesh?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rude?
No.
Thiessen?
Nope.
Walker? Walker?
She was no one.
I didn't hear.
No, that's not Walker.
No?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. You're voting in the aye?
Yes.
Thank you.
Fourteen yeas, eight nays. The bill passes and is referred to the tax committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Representative Erickson. Oh. Okay. Thank you. Members, we have about 5 or 6 minutes. Representative Hackbarth, your bills, I think, are pretty fast.
We take them right now?
Let's take them right now.
Oh, good.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Westerberg.
I'd like to move the division report.
Representative Westerberg moves the division report be adopted on House File
3254.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I would move House File 3254.
Representative Hackbarth moves House File 3254 be recommended to pass and sent to the House. State Government Finance. Representative Hackbarth, tell us what your bill is. And,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have Mr. King Wilson here to his King Bill first.
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this is the sports theme tip board pilot project. This actually is a legislation that passed in the omnibus gaming policy bill last year that unfortunately the Senate didn't accept. The 2 years prior to that, we actually done a full-fledged program. This would allow charities to do a tip board that is a currently legal game with the outcome based on the score of a professional game. It doesn't matter who wins. It's not odds. It's not bookmaking. It's just if the final score hopefully is Vikings 21, Packers 14, 1-4. Because the committee has heard this previously and passed it off the House floor last year, unless there are questions.
Okay. Any questions? Committee members? This was on the floor and passed off last year?
Correct.
I renew my motion.
Representative Hackbarth renews his motion to pass to State Government Finance House File 3254. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Representative Hackbarth, Representative Westerberg moves the adoption of the division report on House File 3253.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Representative Hackbarth moves House File 3254 be recommended to pass and referred to
State Government Finance.
State Government Finance. House File 3253. My correction. Representative Hackbarth.
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, we do have the 3253 amendment. A1 3253 amendment. Do we have that?
A1 3253
amendment. Yeah, it just changes the effective date. The act is effective the day following the final enactment. That's just added to the bill.
Okay.
That's what the amendment is.
Any
so we could incorporate that
handing
amendment.
Handing it out, the chair will incorporate this. The amendment into his motion for approval. Tell us about the bill, Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, committee members, what this bill does is three things. Number one, relating to link bingo and bar bingo. There currently is a prohibition in law where a link bingo game, which is something that we passed about 4 years ago with your help, which is soon to be up and running. We would like to be able to do that in bars. We're finding with the changes that were made last year in Representative Hackbarth's bill, there were a lot of changes relating to bingo, and what we're seeing is a lot of the BFWs, Legions, Elks, Moose that own their own or home post homes are going away from the old bingo in the back room where they're doing it in their bars because they're finding it's bringing additional people. This is all through this bill. It's language that we have worked with the Gambling Control Board. Yesterday we talked in front of the Gambling Control Board's Citizens Board about this proposal, and they had no problems or real questions about the bill. The second thing relates to pull tabs. It's allowing for cumulative or carryover pull tab games, games with multiple seals. This is identical language to language that went through several years ago relating to tip boards. It does say that the board will have to do rules before we'll be able to do this. And the last thing the bill does is it creates an event game. This is a pull tab game, and the difference is instead of having an instant winner, there might be bingo balls throughout, and at the end, at a given point in the evening, you would pick a winner, and if D1 is the winner, that person would win a prize. We're kind of hybriding two games that we have currently. Do thank Representative Kilty, who the other day we had an amendment, and he added the word random, which made the bill much better. That, in a nutshell, is the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I think we need to vote on the amendment to get that into the bill.
All right. Representative Hackbarth moves the A-1-3253 amendment. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. To the bill as amended. Any questions about the bill, Representative?
Well, member?
Any amendments? Any? No discussion? Well, seeing no discussion, no amendments, all those in favor of House File 3253 as amended to be recommended to pass and referred to State Government Finance Committee, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and member.
Thank you, Representative Hackbarth. Well, members, that's about wraps up the committee time today.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Westerberg.
Mr. Chair, can I make a motion to remove House File 3194 from the table?
You can. Representative Westerberg, I'm just concerned that the time being 4:20 already, we don't have enough time to finish it.
Well, Mr.
But go ahead, Representative Westerberg.
Well, Mr. Chair, this bill is really technical in nature, and there really isn't any arguments or disagreements in it. It's housekeeping, and I believe both sides of the aisle are totally in support of this bill. The provision that you have question on, you know, and Marty Seifert has question on, is not in this bill. That's a provision that, you know, can be addressed later and can be added to this bill at any time. We could certainly get this business done by moving this bill on, but it's up to the will of the committee.
Representative Westerberg, whether or not Representative Beard, he has an amendment to your bill, which was had some controversy, he withdrew it, but he would be entitled to offer it to your bill again, and that could take some time again, and that's my concern on the bill.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay. The plan would be we'd take it up tomorrow evening, Representative Westerberg, and right now I think tentatively we will plan on meeting about 6:30. But members, I will have Brian send out an email if that changes at all. What we're trying to do is, I know Representative Hackbarth's committee, Environment Committee, is meeting right at 4:30, and they expect to be done in an hour and a half or two. We're going to try to conflict with as few committees as we can, but we don't want to stay here all night either. So I think 6:30 will be the time. If there's a change, Brian will send out an email as soon as we can tomorrow to let you know. And 3100 and 3194 are the two bills left on the agenda. Save your materials. We also have a committee meeting at 2:30 tomorrow, so I can give you any final update then if we haven't sent out an email by then. And there's no bills tomorrow. It's informational information on energy and marketing and et cetera, et cetera. So with that, thank you, committee members, and thank you to all that have driven in a long ways to see today's committee process, and we thank you for your interest at the Capitol. With that, meeting adjourned.